Do you find listening to your friends' stories into motherhood uplifting and empowering? Brought to life by maternal health company AMA & Co., AMA Need a Minute provides mothers the space and the minute to share their real and raw experiences as well as their learnings. So pour yourself a glass of wine or tea, throw in that fifth load of laundry for the week that will sit in the dryer, and join in to celebrate, commiserate, and build a new kind of community. Hi, and welcome back. Today, we're welcoming my friend Jade, who is our first expecting mom on the show. Hi, Jade, and welcome.
Hi, Margaret. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you, and I'd love to give you a chance to introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jade. I am a first-time expecting mom. I'm just entering my third trimester. And while I'm a first-time mom, I'm actually not a stranger to changing diapers because I'm the oldest of five kids. So I kind of grew up doing that. And I grew up in LA. I actually, though, have since settled in New York. I'm moving closer to you, Margaret, up in Westchester. And I work in people development and learning at a large French beauty company that you are very familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I am really lucky enough to help our employees learn leadership skills and how to integrate well-being into the way that they work. I also am a well-being advocate, a mindfulness teacher, a healer and Reiki practitioner. And I'm really committed to rebuilding systems that are really centered and grounded in loving kindness and compassion.
For those of you listening, Jade and I do work at this company together. And she really brought wellness to the company. I feel like it wasn't a major thing for us as an organization until maybe a few years ago when we started introducing like Mindfulness Tuesdays. And I remember going to them in the middle of the day. And it was nice that it was like during the lunchtime area. And I just remember some of those sessions being really helpful.
Yeah, I've been practicing personally mindfulness for the past like 8 years. Mm. And I brought mindfulness to our company about 6 years ago. And that was at a time, I think, where the question was still like, why? Why mindfulness? Like, why do we need this at work? And then fast forward to 2020, and then all of a sudden everyone was like, how do we do it? We need it. So actually, setting that foundation a while ago was really helpful in being able to support all of our employees.
Yeah, for sure. And how has mindfulness kind of played out for you during your pregnancy so far?
It has been foundational, so helpful in keeping me grounded and centered. I think of mindfulness kind of like going to the gym, which is probably something I could be doing a little more of too through pregnancy. But to me, I like thinking of it as we build our physical strength by exercising our bodies. And that's something that's well accepted nowadays. Mm-hmm. And we can also build our mental strength by training our attention. Mm-hmm. And in a time now where at work and in life and with social media, our attention is so bifurcated, it's being pulled in so many different directions. And especially in pregnancy now, it feels like it's another full-time job on top of also house hunting. My husband and I were starting to look for houses in January when we first got pregnant. And so I had like three different huge responsibilities with work and pregnancy and house hunting. Yeah. My attention was all over the place. And mindfulness to me really means bringing more attention to the present moment. So in flexing that muscle, every time my attention drifted to something else or I worried about something, and being intentional about bringing my attention back to what's happening right now, especially what's happening in my body, because that's our bodies only exist in the present moment, like focusing on my breath to come back to what's happening has really helped me to be able to recenter, reground, and also just savor what's happening.
Yeah.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows being pregnant, but it's also a really miraculous thing that our bodies are doing. So to try and slow down and be grateful for everything that is happening and to kind of cherish and appreciate my body for what it's doing.
I like that perspective. And I think a lot of women who haven't gone through pregnancy yet, or maybe did go through pregnancy, have a misconception of what pregnancy will do to their bodies, or like they have a bad stigma attached to it, right? Like, oh, I have to put on all this weight. I'm going to be like feeling bloated all the time. I'm not going to be able to tie my shoes. Like, I think that that's more of like the assumption of how people will feel. So I think it's great that you have kind of embraced this beautiful thing that your body is doing for the next 10 months. And I think it's also a little bit of a barrier for some women who may want to get pregnant and are thinking like, oh, but I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I want that toll on my body. How did you start feeling ready for pregnancy?
That was a real fear of mine. Something that I had to work through. It kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies to think about this thing growing inside of you and the big unknown of what
alien form means,
kind of this idea of alien, you know, in your belly. I don't know if there was like a specific moment, and I was talking to my husband about it, like, was there a moment that we just were like, yes, we're ready? And I think partially, I'm 37. So last year I was 36, and there's parts of me thinking, okay, but I'm getting older. In the eyes of medicine, I'd be considered a geriatric pregnancy, which also brings up some other things. But I had in my mind of, when will I be ready? If I keep just thinking, okay, I'll do it when I'm ready, I'll do it when I'm ready, it brings me back to like, we're never really ready for anything that we want to try and do. And when I look back on my life, whether it be career or things that scared me, I never really felt ready. So I kind of had to just say, like, when is the moment that I'm going to do this? And I had an opportunity actually. Margaret, you and I were in this program together called Execute Your Dream, and we did a vision board exercise. And in that moment, as I was creating the vision board, I remember it was like back in November, and I had all these magazines that were parenting magazines that I had been holding on to for a while. And I kind of took a deep breath, cut out the pictures and the words that were associated with having a baby or parenting or just bringing this new child into the world and pasted them on the board. And that kind of was my declaration of like, okay, I am ready. Yeah. I'm putting it down on paper. This is something that I'm going to commit to. It's a little scary because I'd never said anything so definitive to my husband. We'd talked about it. He never pushed me or like rushed me to want to do any of that or to start trying. So after I put it down on the vision board, I kind of took another deep breath and shared it with him.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I'm ready. We've got to manifest this.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where we both looked at each other and were like, okay, now what? Now what do we do?
Did you share that vision board with anyone else besides Matt?
I did.
You did?
I did. So we kind of did the vision board. It was a virtual session. And at the end, our instructor was like, okay, anyone who wants to share. And of course, it wasn't mandatory, but I kind of felt emboldened to say, okay, if this is my declaration, then I'm going to share it. And not be afraid of it yet. Because it's still, if I didn't speak it out loud or share it, it was still something that I could hold on to and maybe change my mind about.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, because once you say it, it's like everyone's holding you accountable now in a way, right? Like they might not verbally hold you accountable, but they remembered you'd said that. So I think that's pretty bold. How did it feel when you first realized you were pregnant? And how did you tell them that?
I was shocked, actually, because we did this vision board, or I did this vision board in November. We made a decision of like, it's going, let's make it fun still. We don't want it to be so like regimented, and we're trying and to hold it lightly, because we know a lot of our friends and family who it took a while to get pregnant. So we were like, okay, let's just, we're giving ourselves time. And in January, I had my annual women's doctor appointment. And before I went in, I was like, okay, well, we've been trying. Maybe I'll just take a test to see so that I can chat with her about anything. And I saw two lines come up. So I was like, I'll do it for fun. I didn't feel any different. And I didn't think anything was different. So I was like, it's just to double check. And this was the first pregnancy test that I had taken since really we were trying.
Oh, wow.
And then I took the test and the two lines came up. And in this day and age of COVID, two lines is not a good thing. So I had to just pause for a moment, reread the instructions, make sure I did it right.
It's a lot simpler than a COVID test.
Right, it is. But I took another test just in case.
Yeah. That's why they sell them in packs of two.
Yes. And when I saw the second test come up positive, I kind of, for a moment, just froze and sat with what I was, I didn't know what I was feeling. Yeah. It was like, okay, I don't feel any different, but this is telling me something like major is happening.
Yeah.
And I actually had a status meeting right after I'd taken those tests, because I it was so like casual. I didn't think anything was going to happen. So I had to jump on this call pretending that like nothing was happening, or I was really paying attention to what was happening in the meeting. But in my mind, I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant.
Pregnant. Oh my gosh.
Hung up from that call, and Matt was still sleeping. So I woke him up. I kind of whispered in his ear, was just like, I'm pregnant. And he kind of woke up, and one of those things was like, is this a dream? What's happening? Are you, is everything okay? And we both just kind of like laughed and cried, and we're both bewildered. And then we both were like, okay, great that you have a doctor's appointment now, so we could triple check and see what we need to do.
Yeah. Amazing. How did you feel like going to the office after knowing this information? Or did you go to the office? I don't know, like if you were comfortable, or did you try to hold off for a little?
I was going back to the office. I felt comfortable because at that point we were still wearing masks, and I had talked to my doctor and she felt it was okay. It was kind of lonely, actually, because you have this, or I have an open book. My coworkers are my family. I love sharing everything that's happening in my life. And I had this exciting news that I wanted to share, yet Matt and I made the decision to not share. So that we had it between us, but also I think just in general, if anything were to happen, our doctor gave us the advice to share with those people you would bring in on the journey if you were to miscarry. So just to be really intentional of like, you want to share, but you know, if something happens, you want to have those people who know, who are going to support you, be a part of that.
Yeah. Did you and Matt each get one person? Like, were you like, you get to tell this person and I get to tell this person?
So we weren't going to. And then I was just like, I have to have one person. And I had a good friend who was also going through a journey. We were talking about trying at the same time. And she actually got pregnant a couple of months before me. And I was like, I get to tell what I have to tell her. I have to tell her, because not being able to tell anyone was really hard being in the office. And I never got sick, but I was experiencing a lot of nausea. And I literally wore those seasickness bands for 2 months under my clothes, trying to just, you know, act normal, quote unquote, and like nothing was going wrong. And it was hard when actually there was this conversation that my coworkers were having about another person on their team in the past who was pregnant. And my coworker was like, yeah, it was so weird. She did not look well. She was just pale and she was sick all the time. And we were asking if she was okay. And she was like, I'm fine. And then finally, when she was able to tell us, we're like, oh, okay, that makes so much sense. Why didn't you just tell us? And I was sitting there like, I know.
Why didn't she tell us?
I know. And I'm sitting there contributing to this conversation. And my other coworker who was like, yeah, I was going through my first trimester house hunting and, you know, with my bag of ginger chews and Gatorade and having to stop and use the bathroom.
What did you have in your bag again? Can you?
Like wanting to sit there, kind of act like nothing was happening, or I was just along for this conversation. But on the inside, I just felt like I was screaming, like, I understand. I want to ask you questions. I'm going through that right now. And it was hard.
So did you wait for the full trimester, or did you do it after like the confirmed 8 weeks appointment?
We waited until about like 14 weeks.
Okay.
So we decided kind of in tears, we would tell our our parents first and then our family and siblings and then kind of closer friends and then kind of more broad.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that's we had a phased approach as well. how did it feel at your 8 week appointment? Or is it, I don't know if it was 8 weeks, but the one with the first scan, wasn't that able to go with you?
You know, I had really high expectations because those first 8 weeks, I went to that first doctor's appointment after I tested positive being like, okay, you're going to give me all this information. And all she said was like, well, you have to wait 8 weeks until you schedule an appointment. And at that point, like you, I hadn't been tracking my period, so I didn't know how far along we were. So I wasn't able to kind of Google what was happening in my body. And it was the longest 8 weeks trying to like, what's happening? I'm not feeling well. Like, I try not to look on WebMD anyway, but all of those things going through my mind. So by the time we got to our 8 weeks, I was like, okay, like, tell me all the things, what's happening. And a lot of it was new, a lot of new information. But the one thing I do remember is laying down, my friend actually gave me a heads up that this first scan would be a sonogram versus an ultrasound. So she was like, it's not going to be the jelly on your belly. It's you're going to have to like drop your pants. So I was at least prepared for that because I didn't know that it was, it would be anything else. So we did the scan, heard the heartbeat, saw how like a little gummy bear being on the screen and quickly I told Matt, I was like, record this I want to be able to remember. And I just started crying just thinking okay, this is surreal, looking on the screen and then looking down at my stomach and being like, I don't feel this. But I see this is happening. It's a weird It's a weird feeling.
I also remember thinking to myself, like, it looks like I drew this. Like, this is like a cart. Like, it was just like five. No, it was six bubbles. It was like a big head,
yeah,
a body, and then like four little circles. So I'm like, this is so like cartoony. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you would, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but I don't know. It just looked like fake at this point.
Yeah, and it was kind of moving around. Yeah. And it's like, I don't feel that moving around.
It's like somersaulting.
Yeah,
it's funny. Did Matt cry?
I did not see him because he was kind of behind me.
Okay.
I haven't seen him cry too many times in my life, but he is a softy, so I wouldn't be
maybe
surprised.
At the birth. Yeah, I think Jing got a little choked up when we heard the heartbeat. Yeah, maybe at the birth he'll cry. Anyway, so. But yeah, I felt the same way about Information, because the 8-week one, they did the scan. I was like, okay, now what? Right. And I felt like there wasn't enough information on like what I could eat, what I couldn't eat. I had this constant fear of like listeria and everything, like in everything. I felt like I couldn't eat anything at work. The other thing that I feel like nobody talks about is beauty products that you can't use, or ingredients that you can't use when you're pregnant. I went down the rabbit hole on this. So, I mean, we're in the beauty industry, and I was like, what's safe for you during pregnancy? Because, like, you know, I use like a lot of those specialized skincare products, and there's not enough about it. So I'm always like, is this okay? Is this not okay? Like, I literally lugged like a bag of my stuff to one of my doctor's appointments to be like, I just want to vet out this stuff, like if there's anything on their ingredients that are like red light, you know, whatever for her. So she took the time to look through it, but like I had to take that initiative and be like, hey, I have a bag of products that I want you to vet for me, because I can't find anything online that says like these are the ingredients you need to avoid.
That's so smart. I didn't even know to do that.
That's because I'm like a crazy person, so like I'm very like, I don't know.
No, I think that is a big part of this journey for me, was I don't know what I don't know. And yeah, every time I had a doctor's appointment, I kind of did have that feeling of like, am I not asking the right questions? Am I missing something? Yeah. When it came to Information, I actually am a carrier of a genetic disorder and also had some abnormal pap smears in the past. So I had mm-hmm. some things that I needed to have checked a little bit more. And mm-hmm. one of them being genetic testing and going through an amniocentesis and, you know, all of these things where I'm hearing them for the first time. I'm trying to Google them. I'm trying to sit and absorb all this information as the doctor is saying it, you know, all at the same time, feeling like, am I missing something? Am I not doing the right thing here? Am I not asking the right question? Am I being rushed right now?
Yeah.
Do I need to go back?
I started keeping a list on my phone, or like a drafted email of like all the questions that popped up in my head, because I just felt like I never remembered them until like I left. And then like 3 days later, I'm like, oh, I forgot to ask. Now I need to wait like three more weeks again.
Right. You're in the room and they're like, any questions? You're like, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, no, I'm good. I can't eat anything with listeria, right? That's it, right? Okay.
Right.
So tell me about, so you were 36 when you got pregnant, right? Is that what you're, mm-hmm. yeah. You have to go through genetic screening at that age, right? Because you're geriatric, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Okay. So that already is, I feel like, just scary, because you're like, what are you going to find? You never know, right? But tell me about this amniocentesis thing. For those of you listening who don't know what it is, I'd love for you to share what the process is of this test.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, this is where my mindfulness practice really came in handy to stay centered and focus on my breathing. And amniocentesis is where they take a sample of your amniotic fluid to check the DNA and genes of the baby. It's not super, super accurate as if taking the blood, but it at least has some of the genetic markers that come from the skin sloughing off on the baby in the fluid. Also, this is how I'm interpreting it. It may not be the whole scientific truth. So do research, but this is how I was processing it. And the procedure is fairly quick, but they take a needle and they go through your stomach to the placenta, or not the placenta, the amniotic sac. When I asked the doctor about it, I was like, is there any sort of numbing or that happens? And she's like, nope, it's just a really thin needle that goes in. And this is where I think the unknowns can become really hard and scary, because I started to think up of all the things that could go wrong or the pain that I would go through, which then caused me maybe to rethink, like, do I really want to do this? Do I need to do this?
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, we've talked about this before, I kind of regrounded myself, said, okay, why do we need to do this? The genetic disorder that I carry may be passed on and it could impact delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want to know so that I could prepare as much as I can to mm-hmm. make sure that we're not doing anything that might be unintentionally harmful. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Matt about it for a while. And we decided to do it. And leading up to it, I kind of visualized, okay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. This is where also Reiki healing was helping me stay grounded too. And during the procedure, which was only like 5 minutes, the doctor was like, okay, one more minute. It felt like the longest minute of my life, but
like those needles in you for 5 minutes.
It was in for about like 3 minutes. So she prepares, we're sitting there. She was like, okay, take a deep breath. It goes through your skin, which that part felt okay. It felt kind of just like you're getting a shot. Mm-hmm. The one part that she was like, okay, one more push, was when it actually pierced into the amniotic sac, which felt. And I think for me,
I'm sure the baby jumps too, no? Like they know.
So they have the scan up. So the ultrasound is up live while she's doing it, so can make sure she's
not
avoiding
the baby. Yeah.
Matt's watching the screen. I had my eyes closed the whole time. I was just focusing on my breath, making sure I didn't move.
It's like when I think of people in like the army, like sitting in the war room, and everyone's watching like the one screen, and like the one ops guy is like running around, and you're like watching. Like, that's what I envisioned.
Yeah. I think maybe they were also trying to distract me, but Matt and the doctor were talking about house hunting. So I was just trying to relax and focus.
3 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. You know what? I think in those moments, I kept just saying that this is for the baby. And I can do anything for a minute. I am strong enough to do anything for a minute and just breathe through that minute and restart to get through it. And in hindsight, it's like, okay, it's fine. It maybe wasn't as scary as I had thought it to be originally. And we got some really important information that he will have this genetic disorder, and now we can better prepare for our delivery and what that looks like. And I feel a lot more grounded with information this process of so many uncertainties and unknowns.
Yeah, because I know that there are risks associated with it, so I think some people go through the waiting. But in your situation, you felt like it was worth it and you made the right choice.
Yeah. And we had talked to the doctor about it before too. And again, this is where I think being grounded in mindfulness helped me to also prepare. If something were going to come up in this test, how would I respond versus how would I react? Our doctor actually, when they gave us the news, remarked like, oh, wow, so you're fine? You're okay? Because Matt and I were like, okay, thank you for this information. What do we do with it now? What are the next steps? How do we mobilize? What more do we learn? And she mentioned like that a lot of...
How do we mobilize with this information?
Yeah.
Give me the action steps.
I think that's helped us move through it because otherwise, if we were to just dwell on, oh my gosh, this is happening.
Yeah.
Why is this happening to us? What could go wrong? I think it's also helpful that two of my brothers have this disorder. So we know that it is completely manageable, which I think is different in this case. So it's helpful in being a little bit more grounded and centered. The genetics counselor was like, I wish all of my clients came out of hearing news like this in that way. And I don't know if I would respond in that way with a lot of things, but for this, there's a greater purpose.
Yeah.
Our baby's still going to be healthy. There's still, we all have things that we're dealing with. And now at least we have time to be able to prepare to best help him when he gets here.
That's great. And then you mentioned your mindfulness and your Reiki practice helping you stay grounded in that moment and in other moments throughout the pregnancy. Do you want to share a little bit more about Reiki?
Mindfulness and Reiki have really helped me throughout this pregnancy on multiple levels. Mindfulness to me really just means bringing more attention to the present moment. And I do that through my breath because my breath and my body only exist in this present moment. And it allows me to slow down enough and quiet my mind enough so that I could get super clear on what I need. There's so much information that I'm taking in that I want to be discerning around what I want so that I can better articulate that to my partner, to my doctors, and advocate for myself. And Reiki helps me in balance with mindfulness because when I'm in that present moment, I can use Reiki to bring myself back into balance. So really, Reiki is an ancient Japanese healing modality that uses light touch, or I like to think of it as intentional direction of loving energy. So, like when you have that loving person hug you or put their hand on a bruise and you kind of start to feel better because you know that you're being cared for. I give that to myself every day, or I try to make time to practice mindfulness and to practice Reiki every morning because it helps me to reset. And I know that I won't go more than 24 hours without coming back into balance. And the way Reiki works is using touch or intentional direction of this loving energy. It helps accelerate your body's natural healing. It helps us to come back into balance. And we may not know what our body needs to be in balance, but our bodies know already. So if we can just slow ourselves down a little bit and care for ourselves a little bit more, then we can let our bodies do its thing. But actually, I can explain it, or I can take us through a little exercise. I love the name of this podcast, Amanita Minute. I think I need lots of minutes, but if for people listening to this now, I can take us through just a little centering and loving energy to come back to ourselves and find a little bit more balance, come back to our breath in this present moment, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. I love that. Is there anything people should be doing physically right now? Should they be having soft lighting? Like, what is the environment they should be in right now?
So actually, the thing that I love about mindfulness and Reiki is that you don't have to create the perfect environment. You could do this literally anywhere that you are, in whatever position. What, like, you don't have to wait for the perfect moment.
Okay, so perfect for podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I try to make it practical, because it's like not everybody has time to set up their pillows and turn down the lights and set, like, burn some incense, right? Like, if you have kids, if you're pregnant, or wherever, we're busy people. So if you're listening to this and you are on the move, all good. Just maybe try and monotask in this moment. So if you're walking, just focus on doing that. If you are sitting, see if you can sit a little taller, bring some more attention to your posture. If you're driving, great. And if you're, you know, wherever, sitting, standing, whatnot, then, and it's safe to close your eyes, then I invite you to do that. So wherever you are, just feel comfortable and bring more attention to your body. And sometimes closing our eyes allows us to do that a little easier. So I invite you to take a hand and place it on your heart. Take another hand and place it on your core and abdomen area. And allow your eyes to soften and gaze down and forward, or to flutter closed. With nothing to manage in this moment, just start to notice how you're feeling. Maybe start to tune in to the rise and fall of your breath in your chest. And take a deep inhale through the nose, allowing that breath to lengthen the spine. And exhale out the mouth. Again, inhale through the nose. And exhale out the mouth. We'll use our breath and our attention to come back to this present moment. So continue to breathe deep. And bring your attention now to your forehead. Inhale, notice if it's furrowed. Exhale, relax the face. Continue to breathe and silently repeat after me. Just for today, do not anger, do not worry. With thankfulness, work diligently to be kind. Inhale. And exhale, relax the shoulders. Continue to breathe and bring your attention to your heart space. Inhale and exhale, relax. And silently repeat after me. I am strong. I am beautiful. I am wise. My heart beats in harmony with the frequency of love. Inhale. And exhale, relax. Bring your attention to your core. Inhale, sending that breath all the way down to the bottom of your belly. And exhale. Silently repeat after me. Every cell in my body is healing, healthy, and well. Inhale. And exhale. Relax. And bring your attention down to your pelvis area. Inhale. And exhale. Relax. Silently repeat after me. I am safe. I am centered. I am grounded in flow. Inhale. And exhale. Relax. And now start to notice how you're feeling. Any shifts? Maybe you feel just a little bit more calm, centered, balanced. And maybe you don't, and that is totally okay too. But see if you can send yourself just a little bit more love. Those hands giving you a little hug. And let's take one more deep inhale through the nose. And exhale. Wiggle your fingers and toes and slowly flutter your eyes open and come back to this space. It's something that I make time to do every morning. And even in the in-between moments, finding, even if I can use a mantra of I am safe or I am strong, just to remind myself, because I am are two of the most powerful words that we have, because whatever comes after that is what we become. So if we can start reprogramming ourselves to see that, yes, things can be hard, things can be scary, and I am also strong. I have survived 100% of my worst days, and I can get through this too, then I think our world would be just a little bit better.
Thank you so much for that. I think in today's age, a lot of people need that that centeredness and that confidence in themselves. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Jade provided us a very mindful minute on Amanita Minute today. I hope you enjoyed her perspective and outlook on pregnancy. Join us for part 2, where Jade will ask me questions to prepare for labor, delivery, and the postpartum phase.